Let's stand together this morning. Briefly, we'll stand, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And we'll read several verses here. Thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for your faithfulness during the summer. Of course, this is our stewardship month. This is our last week. So some of you maybe, if you're newer, you can get a little nervous about it, and I understand that. But give us one more week. Give us a hearing. All I ask is that, and really as a Christian, you're going to hear things as you go on that you don't understand that go against maybe our grain. But you, as a Christian, you should always give it a hearing. See what God says. Let him speak to your heart about it. You say, well, you know, I get nervous when the church talks about money. So do I. It's okay. Because money is a big part of life. Money can be something that's just a part of your life. You got under control, it's not a big deal. On the flip side, it could become a god in your life. Or you can just maybe not follow some of God's financial principles, and then you got financial problems in your life. And so we're not afraid to talk about it, but we are going to talk about it. If you're new this morning, please just give us a hearing. We don't harp on it every service. Okay, we don't take 12 offerings. We're not asking you to you know, make me rich. And, you know, if you give, God's going to make you rich. He's not. Okay? Now, he may if you work hard, and I hope he would, because we need to get that building finished. Amen? But I just want you to hear it and see what God would speak to you about in this area. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6 says, "But this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whiles by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men." Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you for loving us. We thank you, Father, that you're a part of every part of our lives, or you want to be. And I pray, Lord, as we wind up our stewardship month, that you would give us ears to hear, speak to our hearts, help us to think about this area that can be a little bit touchy, a little bit sensitive, but help us to purpose in our hearts to do that which you would want us to do. Bless our short time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, as I mentioned, Stewardship Month is coming to an end. We learned in the first couple weeks about the joy of stewardship. Looking at a stewardship of our life and everything about us and the things we do for God, joyfully. We learned that we have two options when it comes to how we live our lives. One of the assets God has given to us is time. Each of us have the exact amount, the same amount of time. How are we going to use that time? We're going to use it two ways. We can either spend it unwisely, wastefully, or we can invest it wisely for God's kingdom. Last week we talked about being a generous Christian. God wants us to be generous. If you were in Sunday school this morning, you heard very specifically about tithing. Once a year for sure, we have a lesson specifically talking about the tithe and what it is and what God says about it. And I hope that you would just consider and think about it. Today we're going to look at what Paul says here about giving. Really, if you think about it, it seems strange that Paul or God or church would have to talk to the church, those who are saved, about the area of giving and encouraging to give, when really, if we understood everything God has given to us and all that God has done for us, giving would be a very simple thing. But we need to think about it. Obviously, the Corinthian believers were not used to giving, so Paul is explaining it to them. He wants them to understand it. Of course, the key here is God's grace. Because of God's grace so generously bestowed upon us, unworthily. By the way, there's not one person that ever trusts Christ who deserves it. Okay? No one can say, man, what God got me, he got a good deal. That's like the you fella telling your wife, when you married me, you got a good deal. She got the short end of the stick, buddy, all right? No, not my wife. She's doing all right. I tell my wife we have something in common that'll keep our marriage going forever. She loves me, and I love me. So we got it going on, all right? But it's God's grace. Giving is something is not something we do. Giving is something we are. Well, that person is a giving person. It's an attribute. It's a character quality. And what we do outside of that really stems from who we are. We want to learn that. So a Christian who truly understands the grace of God, giving is a way of life. It's not an isolated incident. You see, our society today in Christianity, we tend to use grace as an excuse to do less, to do what we want to do, and say, well, we can do whatever we want because we're under grace. Where really, Paul tells us, if we're under grace, we're really going to live more for God because we really understand what he did for us. And he's talking about this in the area of giving. Let me give you several things. Paul is going to talk here a little bit about harvest sowing. And that's what I'm going to talk about. I want you to see number one in these verses. In verse 6, I want you to see, first of all, the principle. What's the principle Paul is setting forth? But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. The principle he's sharing is one of a farmer planting, sowing seed. And we're blessed by how much we sow. If a farmer sows a little, he can expect to reap a little. If he sows bountifully, he can expect to sow bountifully. Any farmer would understand that. There's a link between our giving and our returned blessing. There just is. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38 says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, withal shall it be measured to you again. In other words, what you get back is really determined by what you put out. And I like the way he says that you're giving back to you, it's shaken, you know, it's shaken together. You ever get something and, you know, you pour something, it doesn't fit, and you like Cheerios or something. And it's like, man, if you shake those things, they kind of settle down, you can fit more in that bowl. Okay, or honeycombs, or anything else like that God would want us to eat. You just get that stuff, shake it in there. God's like, man, we're giving it to you. I'm not just giving you. It's not like potato chips. Look at that big bag of potato chips. You open it up, it's like, the air comes out. By the way, potato chip companies believe in tithing. There's only 10% of that bag that's full, all right? The rest of it's air. Okay, it's not like that. But a blessing we get determines on what we so, giving is like planting a seed. A harvest returns in direct proportion to that which we give. Think about this. Most people don't give. They could have heart issues, but a lot of it stems out of fear. Because we put our security in our finances. I won't have enough. But think about it for a Christian. Fear is irrational. Like, it'd be like a farmer afraid to sow his seed because he's going to lose his seed. That's irrational. Because the harvest he gets is going to be in proportion to how much seed he sows. So it makes no sense to hang on to the seed out of fear. I read a story during the 20s and the early 30s. in the Oklahoma area, they had these horrible storms. That land became, during that time, it became known as the Dust Bowl. How many of you heard of that? And just, it was a phenomenon at that time, and they had these wind blasts, and it was in a lot of the dirt, the first several inches, which was loose dirt, was getting caught up, and they had these storms, and all this dirt was coming through, and they would plant their seeds, and the storm for several years came through and just wiped it all away. There was a farmer towards the end there. He looked, and he only had really 1 year's worth of seed left. And should I keep this for food, or should I plant it? And there was many farmers that had that problem, and many of the farmers just moved away. The story of one man, he had to make a decision. In fear, he said, I think that we're going to have another year of drought. I want to hold on to that seed for one more year. But at the last minute, he thought, you know what? I can't afford to do that. I'm just going to have to try it. And he planted his seed, and that year the drought ended. And after a year, he came back, and they had one of the greatest harvests they've had in many, many, many years. And he thought back to that time when, man, if I would have held on to the seed, I would not have received the bounty that I received. See, that's how we are with our money sometimes when it comes to giving to God. We're afraid to hold on to it. Don't never be afraid to hold on to it. Never be afraid to let it go. Because God blesses, if you sow, you will reap. This verse doesn't make sense if we don't believe that. Proverbs 11:24. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. And there is that withholdeth more than his meat, but it tendeth to poverty. What that verse is saying is there's some people, they scatter their resources out and yet they have more than they need. And there's others that hold on to it tightly, and they don't have what they need. Because there's a spiritual dynamic involved. And so, never be afraid to give God that which is His. The principle is, you have to sow in order to receive. Number two, verse 7, I would say, let's look at the purpose. The purpose. Verse 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. In other words, we will never be obedient to God in this area of our finances if we don't make it a purpose in our life. If we don't purpose in our heart that this is what God wants us to do, and I'm going to do it. When Daniel and his three buddies got into Babylon and they knew they were going to be asked to do something that was wrong, they didn't do it. You know why? Because the Bible said that before that ever came up, Daniel had already purposed in his heart that I'm not going to defile myself. The decision was made right here. And Daniel said, I'm making that decision. I'm not going to drink their alcohol. I'm not going to do their thing. The same thing is true in giving. We must have a purpose. It's a decision that must be made. Most people look at it and say, well, you know, maybe every now and then I'll give something to God. That's not purposing. And by the way, we used to say, thanks, Ryan. We used to say, you know, some people don't tithe, they tip God. No, they don't. Tip is 15%. Okay? Yeah, 18. Remember, we went to a restaurant one time, and we had our family. It was, you know, when our family goes, like 75 people, and we're going out there, and I paid for the bill, and then I gave a generous tip, you know. And I'm looking at it, and then after I paid, I walked out, and hey, they already added the tip to the bill. That person got over 30%. By the way, I went back and got it, okay? I'm like, I didn't know you put this on the bill. Give me my money back. I'm a tightwad. I was generous. You made sure I was. By the way, wouldn't that be nice in church? We just hand you a little check on the way out. Here's your 18%, 15%, 10%. Okay, that wouldn't go very well. But it's a decision. We have to decide that's what God wants us to do, and we do it. It's like it's making a commitment. And when we make a commitment, understand this. Motive is the absolute key. Because if we make a commitment with the wrong motive, we're not going to follow through on it. That's why he says, let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. In other words, I don't give because I have to. That just proves that your motive is not right and you're not seeing it as a gift to the Lord. Well, of necessity, I'm going to give because, you know, the building, we need money to finish. By the way, that'd help us out. That'd be great. Keep giving. But no, we understand that sometimes there's a need and God prompts us because of our love for him to give to that need. There's nothing wrong with that. But we give grudgingly if I have to do that. No. If our motive and our purpose is, you know what, I love the Lord. We saw in Sunday school, if your teacher read that verse, you know, and honor the Lord with the first fruit. You know what? I'm honoring God. When I give that, I mentioned in Sunday school class, I do our finances every Saturday, whatever. I'm paid consistently. My wife gets stuff, you know, it's here and there on the weeks, but some more than others. But I do it. I make the deposit. I set down. And by the way, I'm not trying to cuss in church, forgive me, but we live by a budget. I said it. Don't record that part, Jeremy. I don't want people to hear me cussing. Budget. I have all of our bills. And when I get that money, each Saturday, we start putting away money for that next month's bill. But you know what gets the first amount? Here's the tithe. That goes there first. Now, at the beginning of the month, then I put my missions go second. Ezra goes third, which is the building, and then I give some to the bus ministry, that's fourth, and then I get to our bills. Okay? Why? It's just a way for me to say, Lord, I'm honoring you, you get it first. Okay? And that's the purpose in my heart. Let's not give grudgingly. I remember years ago, we were at the old church on Pacific, and I was sitting in the back row, and there was a fella sitting there with me, and I don't want to name who it was, and he had his grandson with him, and you know how sometimes you give kids, like, you know, 50 cents or whatever to put in the offering plate, and he gave the little boy 50 cents and said, now, when the offering plate comes by, put this in. And the offering plate came by, and the kid threw one quarter in. He said, hey, I told you to put both in. He goes, I can't. He goes, no, I gave it to you to put an offering. He goes, I can't. He goes, come on. And the little kid is like five. He goes, but I need it. So let the kid keep the quarter, all right? But that was 50%, so he was above the tithe, all right? But we want to give. We want to give from joy. A mother was trying to teach her young daughter about giving. She gave her a dollar bill and a quarter. And she said, now an offering plate comes by, I want you to put one of those in the offering plate, and you can keep the other. Offering plate comes by, guess what the little girl put in? The quarter. The mom said, why didn't you put the dollar in? And she said, well, you know, I was going to put the dollar in, but before the offering, the pastor mentioned that God wanted us to be happy. And that dollar would make me a lot more happy. That's not the kind of joy we're talking about. See, if we don't give with joy or we don't have the right purpose, we give to the Lord like we pay our taxes. Yeah. Can I just tell you something? At the end of the year, when we write that check out for taxes, that is not joyful giving. Yeah. Okay, at all. Yeah. One year we got a nice little return. The next year it's like, all right, you owe $7,000. I'm like, really? I like last year better. Yeah. Okay, write that check. It's like you almost have to hold your hand. I got to do that. Joyful giving. Because remember what God did for us. Romans 8:32 says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also give us freely all things? You say, will God really take care of me? Well, we do have the promise in the Bible that he will, but think about this. He gave the most precious thing he had, his son. Amen. Don't you think he'd take care of us in the other areas of our life? But it's a trust. And it's a purpose issue. Number three, I want you to see provision. Provision. Verse 8. And God is able, I kind of like that. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Paul says, listen, God's grace is sufficient. He makes sure you abound and have everything you need. You know what he's almost doing here? He's getting rid of the excuse that people come up with that says, I can't afford it. Let me say this, and if you don't believe me, that's fine, but if your finances are tight or you're struggling with your finances, the first thing I would do, the second thing I would do is get a budget, okay? Let's start working on this thing and quit going into debt and cut up your credit cards and a bunch of other things, but we'll save that for another day. But the first thing I would do is, if I wasn't, I'd start tithing. Because you know why? I want God's help on this thing. I want to say, you know what, Lord? I've not been honoring you, and I've got myself. I'm going to work on it, but the first thing I'm going to do, Lord, I'm going to honor you because I need your help with this. And by the way, if we stick to what we're supposed to do and we're giving, you know God's going to take care of us. Amen. He always does. That's right. It's provision. I can't give. As we give, God's grace abounds so that our needs are met. You see, that's what the promise we looked at in Malachi is all about. Let me read it to you again. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there might be meat in my house. Here we go. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing so that there shall not be enough room enough to receive it. There's a promise. See, God understood that finances are such a tough thing for many of us. By the way, for a new Christian, usually it's the last thing that shows up, giving. And if we kind of get away from God, it's the first thing to go. And it's hard. That's why God said, you know, you can't serve two God, you know, you can't serve two masters, and he applied it to money. That's why God says, listen, prove me. Put me to the test. I'll take care of you. I'll show my reality in your life, and I'll give you a blessing more than you could receive. God loves us, and he wants to prove himself in our life. Don't you want a God that is proving himself in your life? Don't you want a God that you see that he's working? We don't worship some idol, and you never see anything good happen. You never see any evidence that he's real, because he's not real. But we can see evidence that our God is real. And one of the ways we can do it is in our finances. Simple logic should tell us that based on God's character, he does not command us to do that which we cannot do. I can't do this. What am I going to do if I were to start tithing? Think about the character of God. Now, I've met some shady characters in my life. I haven't met someone that's shady. It's like the only time that guy is lying is when his lips are moving. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, brother, come on. What's God's character like? Flawless. God is what his character is. And so if God tells us to do something and he says he's going to take care of us, he'll take care of us. It's just we need to take that step to say, Lord, I'm trusting what you say. I want you to see number four, the process here. What are the process? Verse 10. I like this. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Now did you get that? He is saying that when someone sows seed, even the seed that they're sowing was given to them by God. Did you see that? He that minister seed to the sower. Where did that guy get the seed to sow? Even that was given to us from God. Where do we get the money to give to God? That's given to us by God. Now, we are obedient. We do our part. We're faithful. We have character. We work hard at our jobs. And we're diligent. We do those things. And God blesses those things. But God gave us the energy and the strength to be able to do those things in the first place. And so when we're given to him, we're only giving back that seed which he gave to us in the first place. So we sow the seed that God gives us, then God provides for us. I've mentioned it many, many times, and I hope you think I'm not just blowing smoke. It makes no sense to believe that you can get by on 90% better than you can on 100%. Numerically wise, that makes no sense. But we're talking here about a spiritual dynamic. And I can tell you, based on my however many years, when I got right with God when I was 18, so that would have been my 15 years of serving God, yeah. Don't do the math, okay? You think I'm old. Jerry was already a grandfather when I was born. But I can tell you, based on all my years of serving God, it works. Right. It's true. Yes, sir. It just absolutely is true. Take that for what it's worth. So when God commands us to give, he's not stealing resources from us. He gave us the resources to give in the first place, and then he's going to provide for us because we did give. There you go. It's good. and multiply your seed sown. And then he blesses that which you did give. And there's fruit. There's a process there. And so we need to make sure we're in it. Look at number five as we must hurry. Look at the product. The product. Verse 11 and 12. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administrator of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, it's meeting the need of others, their giving was, but abundance also by many thanksgivings unto God. The product is needs are met, and God is praised. He's honored. Isn't that what we want? As a church, don't we want to reach out to our community? Don't we want to reach people? Don't we want to meet their needs and help them? So that, as our theme says, God gets all the glory. That's what we're all about. We're not in this for a name for ourselves or so everybody knows, oh, the Great Pacific Bath. I don't care what they think about us outside of our sphere of influence here. I do care what the neighborhood think about us because I want them to think good things about us. Say hi when you meet people walking. Be kind to people. But I'm more concerned about what God thinks. We want to honor God. We want to help others, and that takes resources. But when we give, that helps us. We want to have the blessings of the church. Look, many folks, they want to have the blessings of a church without partaking in meeting the provisions for the church. Well, I want to come here and I give me, take care of me. I have needs. I want this. I want to make, look, if we came in here and we've had a great summer, by the way, haven't we? It's been good. I'm talking about temperature-wise. That's been real good. Now, what if it's 110 degrees and there's no air conditioning, there's no lights because we didn't have money for our electric bill? Now, people in the church would be mad. How come we didn't pay the electric bill? We had no money. You know who'd be the maddest? Those who don't give. I ain't coming to this church. You don't even have air conditioning. And by the way, I'm like that. We were up at the Filipino family camp, and then we went into Solvang for a little bit, and it was like 90-something degrees, and we were going to eat somewhere, and it's like, they better have air conditioning, or I'm not eating there. Are you with me? Okay. Then I'll give them my tithe to help get their air conditioning going. But, you know, we would be upset about that. But it's our responsibility to meet those needs. We want to meet those needs. What do we go? Soul winning. We're going to go out on Tuesday night and invite people to our church. We don't have any invitations. What are we supposed to do? Get a napkin and a pen? Here, let me draw a picture of the church and, you know, kind of let me draw a map for you. No. It meets the needs, and we're thankful for that. It gives us a place to meet. It helps us to administrate and be ready and get everything ready we need for our services. And there's many things that we take up. And it helps us, more importantly, to fulfill the purpose of the church, to be able to get out there, reach people for Christ. As I've mentioned before, God has provided for all the needs of every church. How? Through its members. And that's, by the way, that's the staff, all of us. You say, how does God meet the needs? By the way, how did he meet the needs of the Levites and the priests in the Old Testament? How were they taken care of? Because what they did full time. How did God take care of them? The giving of his people. Okay? So we all give. But how does he meet the needs of the church? It's through the giving of God's people. God has given us all the money we need. That's the good news. The bad news is so often it gets stuck in our pockets. You know, I know that a lot of us have these pockets when your hand goes in easily, but whenever it grabs money, it gets stuck. How many of you have pants like that? Mine are like that. My wife says, do you have any cash on you? I'm like, no, I can't get my hand out. God has provided. I heard a good story. It was two men, they decided to go out for an afternoon on the boat. They go out for a nice little trip, and they're out on the lake, and they're having a great time, and there's a storm. Actually, they were out in the ocean. There was a storm that came. And they got stranded on a small island with no fresh water and no resources for food out in the middle of nowhere. The one man's running around like, we're going to die, we're going to die, we're going to die. The other guy's sitting there underneath a palm tree just kicking back, watching the waves roll in. And the other guy goes, what is wrong with you? Don't you understand? We're going to die. And the guy goes, no, we're not. He goes, how can you say that? We have no water. We have no food. No way to contact anybody. The guy goes, I make $100,000 a week. The guy looked at him and said, that doesn't matter out here. And he looked and says, no, you don't understand. I make $100,000 a week and I tithe. My pastor will find me. If we had someone like that, I'd find you too. Fact of the matter is, I wouldn't let you go out on the boat. I'd probably live in your house with you like, hey, put that knife down. I'll do that for you. What is God's method? God's method is God's people provide. Let me say this and we're done. I want you to see the progression. The progression. They didn't just give. They got to the place where they gave liberally. Verse 13. Whilst by the experiment of the ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection of the gospel and for your what? Liberal distribution unto all men. They didn't just give. They got to the point where they gave liberally. By the way, people usually grow in their giving. How many of you understand that? We grow in our grace, right? When you first get saved, maybe you read your Bible a little bit, and as you get going, you start growing. You want more of it. You want to learn more. Usually, you know, we have evening services, and we have Thursday night services. Usually people start coming to Sunday morning, and as they grow in their faith, maybe they want a little bit more. They say, hey, I'll come to some of the other services. We grow in our faith. We're not perfect. We never become perfect, but even in the way we live and things go on, we slowly but surely make those changes at God. Well, we also grow in giving. We start giving. Now, the baseline start is the tithe. That's the baseline. That's where you start. But as you do that, I have found if you've done it over the years and God's blessing you, you have a tendency to want to get involved in other things. You'll want to get involved in our missions program. You know, maybe get involved in the building program. Our family, we don't give a lot, but we give a little to the bus ministry to kind of help that out. I want to be involved in that. By the way, say, why do you give to the bus ministry? Man, I'm sowing seeds. Everything that happens good on that bus route, because our family gives a little, I got a small percentage of that. I'll take it. But we grow. Over the years, when I got saved, I mentioned, I started giving right away. I gave my tithe. And then I said, you know, I don't want to just give 10%. In our church over there, they didn't have a building program and they didn't have missions program. They did, but that was just through the budget, so they didn't ask for extra money. So, I want to give a little bit extra. So I gave a little extra over the tithe, and then I've always done that. And a few years after we started this church, we started Faith Promise, and we started giving to that. It's like, pray God, how much you want me to give? And I think we started with $50 a month. That was our first start, and then over the years we've just increased it. Now it's pretty substantial as God has blessed us, and I just want to keep sowing more. And then the building, we started the building. We started Ezra Fund years ago on the old building to pay off the mortgage, and we gave a little bit, and then it morphed into the new building, and that's really substantial right now. Why we're building, I have no problem doing it. If God, I just pray and God, how much you want me to give, and if God wants me to give, guess what? Because we followed His prompting, He always provides. I'm not taking food off our table like, you know, I'm going to give to the building. We're going to give everything to the building. And we'll just, you know, we'll go eat out of our garbage. We're not doing that. But we've grown in it. And we enjoy it. Now, you say, I don't get that. That's fine. That's you. I'm just telling you, I don't mind. I'm glad that God's allowed us to. But the progression starts at the starting point, which is this, the tithe. That's the starting point. And I think every Christian should be at that point. Every Christian should be at that point. I heard a story. There was a missionary in Africa, and he was teaching his people about tithing. Now, he wasn't there. You know, they don't make a lot of money, but he told them, you know, some of them don't make money at all. They hunt and stuff, and so you got to give 10% of your increase. Taught that on a Sunday. Monday, a guy comes knocking on his hut or wherever he lived and said, hey, pastor. He had a fishing pole with a fish on it. He says, I got my tithe. Takes the fish and goes, thank you. He goes, well, where are the other ones? He goes, they're still in the river. I got to go get them, but I wanted to make sure God got his first. Now, if that was me fishing, God would have got the tithe and we would have starved, okay? I probably just got one fish, unless Brother Ross is with me. He's a good luck charm. But tithing, that's the baseline. And that's where Christians, I think, out of all of us, be at. Ushers, why don't we come? We're going to pass something out. I want to go over this. Do you have the cards, Brother Pichardo? Get the cards. Jessica, can I have some? Now, One other thing you'll notice about our church, we're not afraid to ask people to make a decision. Now, this decision's between you and God, okay? And you say, oh, this is the last week of stewardship. Just stay with us. But to teach about something and not ask you to consider doing it makes no sense, right? Why ask? Why teach on something? By the way, when we preach, you know, like we have, well, why do you guys have invitations at the end of each service? Because when you're teaching the Bible, God may speak to you about something. We want you to kind of come down and cement that with God. They're between you and him. But isn't that why we want to learn something? Not just to have a head knowledge, but say, you know, God wants me to take care of this. Jessica's going to play. I want everybody to get one of these cards. I think I already have one. Jessica, can you play? Everyone get one. We'll explain to you what to do. Oh, I'm feeling pressure. We're not here to pressure you. You can do whatever you want with it. It's between you and God. But we do want you to consider it. Finances are such a vast part of our lives. And it causes stress and pressure if we're not handling it right. And I want God's blessing on your life and on my life. You say, well, I don't want to do that. That's fine. I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to get the blessing. But I want you to have the opportunity to. Everybody get one out on the patio? If you did not get one, raise your hand. All right, thank you, guys. Here's why I want you. I'm asking you and challenging you. I have no problem doing this because God challenges us, right? Malachi 3:10, prove me. If you don't tithe or maybe you've struggled, I'm asking you to take the challenge. Remember years ago they had when I was a kid, teenager, they used to have the Pepsi challenge. I remember. Anybody remember that? They put Pepsi up against Coke, and there would be a secret test taste, and they'd get these people that said that they love Coke. By the way, I don't know how you can't tell the difference. Pepsi tastes like sugar water, and Coke tastes like battery acid. I mean, come on. By the way, Coke is better than Pepsi. I don't even drink soda anymore. I gave it up. I love coffee too much. But anyhow, by the way, if you say, well, Coke is too harsh and Pepsi's too sweet. RC Cola is right in the middle. Righteous Christian, that's what it stands for. Okay, so drink RC. All right. Let me get away from the Bible for a minute so you can. Here's what I'm asking you to do. Prove me now, God said. I'm asking you to give God a chance to prove himself. Now, so I don't know. Maybe you would take 3 months. You know what? I'm gonna try this for 6 months and see what happens. Now, I never did that. I just like, well, tithe, I'm in. But I challenge you. Say, I know it's the thing God wants me to do, but I struggle with it. I get that. I totally understand that. That's why God gave a promise. I'm asking you to consider this. Now, you know where it says name? Don't worry about your name. We don't want your name. Okay? You can keep it, okay? But I want you to do this. Think about it. Here's three categories I want you to consider. I already tithe and will continue to do so. By the way, if you do that regularly and you've done it for a while, you understand the blessings behind it and you're in. I understand that. I used to tithe and we'll start tithing again. Sometimes we go through a little spurt. I remember I went through a spurt. I mentioned we were in Florida. We went through a couple months there where we were we struggled. And I think God was testing us. We struggled. We had to tithe. We didn't have enough money for our bill. God always took care of our bills. And you know what happened after that couple months? God just totally took care of us. Got a great job. I mean, it was like, God's like, you know, take. We were living in an apartment when we were struggling. 3 months later, we were living in a 3-bedroom house with a swimming pool. And I had a job. I was the boss. I was home by noon every day. It was great. I should go back to that. But it was great. Now, the only bad thing was it was in Florida, so that's just not happening. But God was, maybe you go through a little, God wants to show himself to you. If you're faithful, even during the tough times, you'll see God just take care of you, and it's unbelievable. I have never tithed, but will trust God, and take the challenge. I want you to consider it. I want you to consider. Why don't we all bow our head and close our eyes for just a minute? I want you to think about this, and then what we're going to do is have you just fill it out. In a minute, what does God want me to do? Maybe I'll put God to the test. By the way, next week, we're not talking about tithing. We're off of it. But I want God. I know what it's done for me, and I don't want to be negligent to ignore something that God talks heavily about. And so I want you to think about it. Jessica, why don't you play for a minute? Well, I want you to take this card, and maybe you would fill it out today. I want you to fill it out. If you say, well, and we're going to turn them in a minute. That's why I don't want your name on them. You say, I'm new here, and I'm not even a member of your church. I don't want to do it. That's fine. You can just fold it in half when the offering plate comes by and throw it in. That's between you and God. Again, that's why I don't want your name. I'm not. It's between you and God. But it's something that God blesses. As Jessica plays, why don't we all, you can look up now, why don't you fill those things out? You say, why do you not have a hard time challenging us? I'll tell you why. One reason, because there's a promise from God. Prove me now. If God didn't have that promise, I'd be nervous. But I have no problem saying, hey, that's what God said, not me. So take God up on his challenge, because if you put me to the test, I'll just be honest with you, I might let you down. Believe it or not. But I know God doesn't. Why don't we fill that out? Ushers, why don't you get ready? If you just put your Sunday school class, we're just trying to figure out what classes there are. We just want to continue going forward and reaching people for Christ and doing God's work and helping people. And it takes resources. I wish we just had all the money we needed, nobody ever, but that's not God's way. God says, no, I'll bless you for it. All right, let's pray, and then we'll